You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast ahead of day two of the Royal Meeting from Ascot. Good to have you with us. I hope you've enjoyed a successful day one and you're looking forward to a day number two. Some top class racing action to build towards, look forward to and preview. Dave Kellner here alongside Ollie Pimlott to guide you through all of the action. And we are recording this podcast shortly after the St. James's Palace Stakes and Barney Roy lowering the colours of Churchill for the first time in his career in the St. James's Palace. A race in which Barney Roy was terrific and Churchill clearly, Ollie Pimlott, underperformed considerably.
Yeah, not at his best, Churchill, only finishing fourth. He was shuffled probably further back than he would have liked at one point, but Barney Roy, while Churchill travelled into the race, was hard off the bridle. And I think Richard Hannan Jr., just reading the press conference, was a little bit worried. He'd only finished fourth at that point, but he powered home in the end. He's in the Eclipse, he's in the Arc, so there's plenty of options for him. I'm hoping for a mouth-watering clash with Ribchester in the Sussex Stakes, perhaps.
Yeah, both Godolphin runners, so whether or not that materialises. But I suppose the theme on day one, we've seen three Group 1s, and Godolphin have won a couple of them.
Yeah, two Group 1s for Godolphin, admittedly not for Charlie Appleby or Saeed Bin Sarur, but the new way of going about it and splitting the horses between the trainers. And we should speak about Ribchester first. He's clearly the best miler in Europe by some margin. Despite hanging quite markedly across the track, Ribchester was quite an easy winner in the Queen Anne, who got favourite backers off to a good start on the day. Return 11-10, having been a lot shorter in the morning. And I think the stewards' report was probably into why there was any pacemakers in the race, David, because they just went off like two scalded cats. The two pacemakers, Toscanini and Dutch Uncle, set an absolute rapid tempo, and they didn't bother following them, the pack. Mm. They quickly fell away, and as soon as he got to the front, Ribchester, he did hang slightly towards the stand rail, but was a comfortable winner. Mutter Kaif confirmed that third behind Postponed in the Judmont International, ran a really good race back in second, and Deauville finished third, but Ribchester confirming himself is certainly the best miler we've seen in Europe.
Interesting, they're talking about a step up in trip for Barney Roy as well, maybe to the Eclipse or to the Arc.
Yeah.
Going further than he's ever been before. So it'll be intriguing to see if that plays out that way and they decide to step the horse up in distance. Because as Richard Hannan has made comment on, was off the bridle from an early stage, Barney Roy, but responded well to that pressure and won with something in hand at the line as well.
Yeah, good performance by Barney Roy. We would have liked to have seen Churchill perform, wouldn't we? He came into the race unbeaten, a dual guineas winner, and he was a hot favourite, 4-9, I think he went off. But it was just one of those days where you can just put a line through that performance. It just never happened for him. He travelled okay into the race, but when Ryan Moore said go, the tank was empty and it was only a disappointing fourth.
Sandwiched in between those two races, we saw Lady Aurelia produce a scintillating performance.
It's already the performance of the week, I would argue, Dave, and we're only four races in at time of recording. Of course, she was a brilliant winner of the Queen Mary Stakes 12 months ago. That was a similarly incredible performance.
She never looked like being beaten, did she?
No.
She's clearly an incredibly high-quality, high-class filly with that cruising speed, that devastating turn of foot, and she's a joy to watch on the...
She took a nice... take cover and Just Glamorous took them along at a fair old clip. Obviously, we've already seen three of the first four races, track records broken. I think she was just a tick off breaking the track record despite only being pushed out hands and heels by Johnny Velazquez, who was able to take over from Frankie Dettori. So one man's gain from another man's misfortune. So yeah. Frankie's missed out on a good winner there. She was just a hundredth of a second away from breaking her third cost record in a matter of three races. She could have won it. She could have broke the course record quite easily.
Yeah.
All roads lead to the Nunthorpe. Now, obviously, being a filly and being a three-year-old, she was the youngest horse in the race. She's also a filly, so she was getting a good pull off her seniors in the race. But to destroy Europe's top sprinters in that manner was quite incredible. I mean, Marcia could never lay a glove on her, and I think all roads will probably lead to the Nunthorpe at York. It looks like they're going to go next, and then, of course, the Breeders' Cup at the end of the year. But what a unbelievable performance, Dave. It had to be seen to be believed, at the manner and style of a victory. Very similar to last year.
Let's talk about Wednesday's action then, because we've got another quality day's racing, as you would imagine. Maybe not quite as high class as the first day, but we have got the Group 1 Prince of Wales Estate to look forward to at 4:20. We'll start with the Jersey, though, 2:30. Highly competitive, as always. Group 3 contest over 7 furlongs. I've got a lot of classic form to analyse and weigh up here. Dreamcastle is likely to be towards the head of the betting. Another one for Godolphin, and it could be a red letter day for Josephine Gordon in the saddle as well.
Yeah, huge day in the career of Josephine Gordon. Of course, she had a great time of it here at Ascot in the Shergar Cup a few years ago. And, you know, this is the biggest ride in her career, taking the ride on Sidebins for Us. Dreamcastle, a son of Frankel. And this is going to be all the rage as well, Dave, because that form of his second behind Barney Roy has clearly been very well franked today. He was probably outstayed by Barney Roy in the green, and where he travelled up like the best horse in the race and was just outstayed by Barney Roy. We saw stamina is Barney Roy's forte today. He ran a fine race as well in the Guineas when finishing fifth. Barney Roy, again, has franked that form, finishing second in the Guineas. The fourth in the Guineas as well has finished second today. So the Guineas form, barring Churchill, has shown up to be very strong indeed. And I think this is his ideal trip, Dreamcastle. He just doesn't quite stay a mile. So this son of Frankel, over 7 furlongs. Four Sidebins to Roar. I think it's 30 years since a lady rider has won a race at Royal Ascot. And wouldn't it be fitting that the former champion apprentice of last year, Josephine Gordon, could do it?
Ribchester, of course, won the race last year. We've seen some good winners of this race, none maybe as good as Ribchester last year. Would Dreamcastle be your selection or not?
I'm actually going to go with the... Dreamcastle sets a very strong standard. I think he's going to be backed, given the strength of the form, with Barney Roy. But I'm going to go with Le Brivado, the French raider here for the master trainer André Farb. He's number 9 if you're looking for him on your race card. Comes out of stall 10, so his berth right in the middle, perfect stall. They've been coming sort of centre to stand side today, so in right in the middle of the 20 runners. He's got the perfect stall. He went close in the French 2000 Guineas last month. The form has been franked by the winner, and I think arguably as well, Labrivado, when he was beaten by Bramato, he of course has franked the form, and I think dropping back in trip should be perfect for him. Daban is another one to mention here. She ran well in the 1,000 Guineas behind Winter, finishing third behind Winter. So she's another one to mention, the filly by acclamation. But the one that I'm drawn to is Le Brivado. That form with Bramato, I think, is absolutely rock solid. She's a French raider, so you know, possibly these European runners, which aren't, you know, we don't know a great deal about the your normal punter, get overlooked. So the colt by Siouni for the master trainer André Farb and Pierre-Charles Boudot. I think it's very strong form, that French 2000 Guineas form. I'm just being touched off by Bramato. Dropped back to 7 furlongs today. He would be my selection in a very strong opening race of the Jersey.
Yeah, very good contest coming up at 2:30 at Ascot, the Jersey Stakes. Let's move on to the fillies in the Queen Mary Stakes. 5 furlongs, Group 2 contest. And the betting will certainly be headed here by Wesley Ward's filly, Happy Like a Fool, who has been extremely well backed already. At time of recording, is into 5-4, might get even shorter come race time. We've seen this filly once on the race course, won at Keeneland. He tends to send out his best juveniles at Keeneland, won by 4 lengths on debut. And has been smashed in the betting already all.
Well, of course, this race was won by Lady Aurelia last year, and we've already seen, Dave, what she can do today. And word on the street that she is pretty special, this filly, Happy Like a Fool, filly by Distorted Humour. Obviously, she won at Keeneland on her debut. That was a four-length victory. Very impressive indeed. She's already had a gallop at the track, so she's got that on her side as well. She's had a look at the track. Ryan Moore takes the ride for Wesley Ward. And if you do believe these racecourse rumours that go around, this was Wesley Ward's best chance of the meeting, according to him. So that's no mean tick in the box from the trainer. Smashed as well. 9-4 in the betting this morning. Prior to Lady Aurelia winning, Dave, she was around about 6-4.
Yeah.
With Lady Aurelia winning, she's 5-4. I think by the time of the race tomorrow, there's a very good possibility she could well go off odds on.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I think given the support behind her in the betting markets and the fact Lady Aurelia has just destroyed them in the King's Stand, there's a good chance that she's going to go off odds on.
And they've had a little bit more time, these American runners, to settle in this year. He's brought them over a little bit earlier, Wesley Ward, this year. Usually they come over with about a week. He came about 2.5 weeks early to Newmarket, where they are stabled. But she's had a gallop at the track. We know what an unbelievable record Wesley Ward has in both this race and at Royal Ascot. Incredibly impressive at Keeneland. And he's come out and said, Wesley Ward, prior to the Royal meeting starting, before we've seen Lady Aurelia, this is his best chance and could be anything. And, you know, you look at the second favourite, Dave. This is a horse who won a novice's stakes at Bath.
Yep, yep.
In heartache. I mean, how often would you see a horse that won at Bath go on to win at Royal Ascot? No disrespect to Bath, but there's not a great deal of form otherwise in here which is going to stand up to what Happy Like a Fool brings.
Happy Like a Fool, a confident selection then?
Very confident selection. The vibes have been very strong. Even my brother works at the International Racing Bureau and they've obviously entered all these horses for Wesley Ward.
Yep.
The vibes were strong about this as soon as she came over. So obviously she shortened them up in the betting with Lady Aurelia's facile win earlier in the day, but this could well be the banker for many people. I would be gobbling up the 5-4 now, Dave, because I think she'll go off shorter tomorrow.
Let's talk about the Duke of Cambridge Stakes, a Group 2, again for fillies and mares here. And this is a mile on the straight course at 3:40. And Godolphin, another good chance here with Laugh Aloud, trained by John Gosden, this one. James Doyle will take the ride. Good for James Doyle as well. We didn't mention him when we were talking about Barney Roy. But big moment for him getting a win on a high-profile race.
Yeah, obviously it wasn't for Saeed Bin Sarur.
No, it wasn't.
Given what poor old Saeed has said about James Doyle, but I think it was a sweet moment for him getting a Group 1 win on the biggest day of the summer at Royal Ascot. He gave it a superb ride. And he's got another good chance here with Laugh Aloud. She has won her last two starts. She was very impressive when we last saw her at Epsom. She was a five-length winner in Group 3 company last time. Steps up to Group 2 now, and she's probably a Group 1 foot performer in name alone. She seemed to get better with every single run, this filly by Dubawi. Typically brought along slowly by John Gosden and has to have a favourite chance. But the one for me, Dave, is Kima.
Yep, I'm not surprised because I won the Coronation Stakes at the meeting last year and brings top-class form to the table.
Yeah, obviously Mix and Mingle reopposes here. Mix and Mingle did beat Kima last time we saw it. That was at Lingfield in a Group 3. This very different, beaten 2.25 lengths by the reopposing Mix and Mingle. But Kima had her excuses on that occasion. I think she's far better judged on that Coronation Stakes win here last year, Dave. She peaks at this time of the year. Following her win, the Coronation Stakes, she went on to win the Group 1 Rothschild Stakes at Deauville. And then at Leopardstown, she finished a third behind Alice Springs in another Group 1. So Mix and Mingle, that was her first start when she got beaten by her at Lingfield. She's bound to improve for that first start for the master trainer that is Jean-Claude Rouget. Gregory Benoit, who is the retained stable jockey for the owners over in France, takes the ride. And I think that run last time would have put a spot on at Lingfield. This is a step back in grade to what she was competed in last year. Of course, a Group 1 winner last year. Back in Group 2 company, having had that pipe opener at Lingfield. I think the French Raider, Kima, definitely one to beat for Jean-Claude Rouget and Gregory Benoit in the Duke of Cambridge Stakes.
And we finish the podcast with a look at the feature race on day number 2. It is, of course, the Prince of Wales Stakes over 1 mile and 2 furlongs. And this is a mouth-watering prospect with Highland Reel Jack Hobbs and Ulysses all towards the top of the betting. Another strong chance for Godolphin with John Gosden's Jack Hobbs lining up here. And many people fancy Ulysses to run well. But Highland Reel likely to go favourite for this contest, having beaten Frontiersman at Epsom last time out by 1 3/4 lengths. I suppose the question with Highland Reel is whether or not he's got the pace to beat Ulysses and Jack Hobbs over this distance, stepping down in trip.
Steps down in trip, Dave, but for me, the most underrated horse in training.
You think so, Highland Reel?
Highland Reel, massively underrated, this horse. He's a globetrotter. He's been here, there, everywhere, this son of Galileo. Confirmed himself in excellent form when beating Frontiersman, who himself is a son of Ouija Board, a fast improving son of out of the great race mare Ouija Board, yep. Last time. It was an easy enough winner at Epsom. Does drop back in trip, was disappointing at Maidan in the Shima Classic, but you just look through his form. I mean, he's an unbelievable globetrotter. Won, of course, at the Breeders' Cup meeting. It was second behind Postponed in the Judmont International, Postponed, an outstanding horse himself. Second in the Arc to Found. Obviously, these are all over. Second to in the Judmont International to Persona over a mile and two, a mile and a half in the Arc. In the Breeders' Cup Turf, that was a mile and two, a mile and a half as well. So he's proven at all sorts of different distances. He's just not sexy for some reason. He's not really caught the public's imagination. But for me, he's far and away the most likely winner. I wouldn't be too worried about the drop back in trip. There is some unexposed horses taking him on here, no more so than Ulysses. Who won on his debut this year. That was in the Gordon Richard Stakes at Sandown. As generally most of Sir Michael Stouts do, tend to improve from their first to second start. And it'll be a big win for Sir Michael Stout. He is currently joint with Sir Henry Cecil with the most winners at Royal Ascot with 75. One more would obviously see him break Sir Henry Cecil's record. But I think it's a big step up from Group 3 company at Sandown last time up into this Group 1, taking on proven performers. Got to mention Jack Hobbs. He was a very good winner at Maidan. I think they're going to lightly race him now and just pick and choose the races with him. He retains the blinkers that we saw in Maidan, but they got a deluge at Maidan last time where the rain came very quickly, and that probably came in his favour. Is he going to handle the absolutely lightning quick ground we see here at Royal Ascot? That will be a question mark for me. I do think it's probably a three-horse race on paper with Ulysses, Jack Hobbs and Highland Reel. And of the three, the one you can always hang your hat on to run his race, Dave, is Highland Reel. The most underrated horse in training, in my opinion. And I think he's going to be underrated no more, Dave, with a win in the Prince of Wales' Stakes tomorrow.
All his selections then. Le Bravido in the 230 Ascot, the Jersey Stakes. In the 305, Can't Go Against Happy Like a Fool for Wesley Ward. In the 340, the Duke of Cambridge, Ollie is going with Kemar. And in the 420 at Ascot, the Prince of Wales' Stakes. It is Highland Reel. If you want to chuck those into a Yankee or a Lucky 15 for day number two, those are Ollie's picks. Enjoy all the racing. Don't forget, every single race here with William Hill is a two-clear contest. So if you back the winner and it wins by two lengths or more, you will get a 15% free bet bonus on top of your winnings. And, of course, Lady Aurelia was one of those on Tuesday. Thank you, Mr. Pimlott, for your company.
Dave, a pleasure.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in. Make sure you rejoin us for William Hill Racing Radio on Wednesday. I'll be alongside a Pimlott senior. Chris Pimlott is in the studio on Wednesday afternoon. And Kevin O'Malley is back for day two at Royal Ascot as well. I'm looking forward to it immensely. So make sure you join us and tune in to William Hill Racing Radio. Thank you for downloading and listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast for Wednesday's action at Ascot, and enjoy the Royal Meeting throughout here with William Hill.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.